Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning. Got a great message for you. I believe God's going to speak to you today. Let's ask him to do that, could we? Do you believe that God can speak to you in this moment, in this next few minutes? Can God speak to you? And then if he speaks to you, would you at least be willing to attempt to do what he tells you? Is that possible for you to at least open your heart to do that today? So, Lord, we do that. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that, Lord, that as we approach your word, as we read it, as we reflect on it, I pray that we would be able to take the truth that is inside of it and apply it to our lives, and that we would hear your voice, Lord. We hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and that we would do what you tell us to do, and we thank you for that. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at two passages of Scripture today as we start our time together. This is the first time that we hear this phrase, milk and honey. It's found in Exodus 3. It says, "So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land." It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And then Luke 6, verse 38, we're going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, with no space for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return." Amen. And those two great verses today as we start our time, it reminds us of God's favor, of God's abundance in our lives. And what I've learned through this series and in looking at the whole picture, you know, of what this series is that it's really because this topic covers about 40 years. And what I've discovered is that this is really a 40-year case study in human nature. It really is. And what's been revealed to me is that the sin nature that's inside of each one of us wants to pull us back, wants us to live in Egypt, doesn't want Egypt to leave us. So if we're well enough to leave Egypt, the Egypt wants to remain inside of us, and God wants us to be free. And the other thing I think that it reveals to us is that trust is a really hard thing, isn't it? Trust. The Bible calls trust faith. And sometimes it's hard to trust God, isn't it? And I think sometimes we think that if we can just, you know, balance it over at about 51%, that we're doing good, because that's the, you know, that's the higher percentage. But don't you want to trust God more and more? Don't you want to live a life of trust and faith where every year you can look at your life and say, you know what, I trust God more than I did last year. I trust God more than I did 5 years ago. Don't you want to be that way? I mean, that's the way I want to be. I want my faith to grow, and I want to be a mature believer. And I want to tell you something. The devil will do anything in his ability to keep you from trusting God. He will cause you or tempt you to put your trust in anything but God. I mean, he is jockeying to make God small in your life, and for anything else, like, he's not selective, you guys. He's not picky. Anything that will take the place of God in your life, he'll do it. And so we have to really be intentional with deciding that we're going to be people of faith, that we're going to put our trust in God, that we're going to depend on him, and we're going to grow more and more in that every year. How many of you want that? How many of you want to be a person of faith more and more every year? Well, sometimes what comes against that is suffering, and we really need to have a good understanding of what the Bible says about suffering, because all suffering is for the glory of God and for your benefit and for my benefit. And really, for me personally, anything that I've been through that was hard or that was where it cost me, where there was struggle that was involved, or it was painful, I can't think of anything looking back where I didn't grow from that, where God used that to really shape my character, and where I became better because of it. And so sometimes we look at, you know, things that are hard and suffering as being something that we're doing wrong. But many times it's something that we're doing right. And listen to what David Massey says. He says, sorrow is a process, not an end. Life pressures, loss, affliction, sickness, disease, distress, and all difficulties are used by God. Do you hear that? Used by God. Not that God caused them, but that God will use them. And He'll use them to build and strengthen our character and our relationship with Him. We come out of sorrows with a greater dependence upon God, a greater trust and belief in the one who saved us and saves us, and with a greater love for Him. That's what is meant to build your faith and your trust in Him, is when you and I go through things and we go through sorrowful circumstances and situations or suffering, those things are meant to shape you and me into who God wants us to be. But if you're like me, I don't like those things. And I try to resist them all that I can. Like, I want to get away from suffering, and I don't want to embrace, you know, sorrow. But those are the things that are the most valuable in your life, that have that can have the biggest impact in you and me, and that's to create more of a where people see Jesus in us more and more. And I think where God wants to build our faith, and we talk about that, where these land of milk and honey, Luke 6:38, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I think there are at least four areas that God wants to do that in. Number one is what we talked about, our faith. And when I say faith, I'm talking about our relationship with Jesus. Like, He wants to know you and me more and more and more every day. And as I said earlier, He wants our faith to grow more and more every day, where we depend on Him and where we trust Him. And that's why He said it's important in the kingdom to become like a child, because children have to depend and trust on their parents to do the right thing and to help them along the way. And that's what we receive when we come to know Him. So our faith is our relationship with Jesus. The second thing is our family. Like, God wants your family and my family to prosper, to be blessed, to be whole, to be fruitful. My daughter is currently in nursing school, and for her clinicals this week, she had to go to a children's wing of a hospital where these children suffer with mental illness. And she said that nearly every single situation, the reason those children are in there is because they were abused by someone in their family, or they were abused. They were either sexually abused, physically abused, and it was because someone in their family let them down. A mom or a dad or someone that was entrusted, that they were trusted with to make sure that their lives were whole and that they grew and matured like they were supposed to. And so we kind of take that for granted if you grew up in a healthy home, but if you didn't, you're carrying the scars of that through the rest of your life because of something that was missing, or some abuse that happened to you, or something that you suffered through. And we need to remember that God wants our families whole. You know what's wrong with the earth today? You want to know? It starts in the family. That's where it starts. The family was instituted in the Bible before the church was. Did you know that? God wants healthy families. God wants healthy moms and dads. God wants healthy brothers and sisters and kids to prosper and to be blessed. Do you understand that? That's God's will. God's will is that your family would be blessed. The other thing that we have to remember is that the favor and the blessing of God comes through our finances as well. Now, I've had the opportunity to live on both sides. I feel kind of like the Apostle Paul sometimes when he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know, I know how to live without and I know how to live with. And can I tell you something? It's better to have more resources. It really is. I mean, that's my experience. And not that the resources have me, and that we confuse the blessing with the blessor. Okay, we're not talking about that. But how many of you know that you can't give out of something that you don't have? So if you're blessed, you can be a bigger blessing to as many people as God puts in your path. And to the extent of God pouring out his favor and his blessing on you, you can, to that extent then, pour out what he's done for you on other people. I think where that can get a little wompy is where we think it's just all about us. Or we think it's just about where it ends right there. It doesn't end with you. It starts with you, and then it's poured out upon as many people as in your sphere of influence or your effectiveness. So that's important with finances. And then finally, our future. Like, God wants your future. Did you know that God has a bright future for you? He's got a blessed future for you and me. He has a prosperous future for you and me. Like, when God thinks about you and he thinks about your future, did you know that it's only good? Did you know that? James 1, 17 says that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So every good thing that God has is for you with your future. And that's important for us to know, because some of us look with the future with bleakness or despair. We're like, what's going on in the world? All this crazy stuff's happening, you know? And the truth is that God has a great future for you as well. I want to go back and say something about the family real quick. Those who are abused physically, sexually, emotionally, I want you to know that many times what the enemy wants to do is to keep that a secret. Because if it's a secret, you can't get free. And I want you to know that you can always, anyone who's being mistreated or abused in those areas, you can always come and talk to one of the leaders here at church or myself. And I will do everything in my ability to help you in your struggle and in your pain that you're facing. Like, you need to know that you're in a safe place. And many people, they don't know that they can turn to somebody, and sometimes a pastor is someone that they know that they can come to for help. So let's talk about now, in your notes it says leeks and onions and chocolate milk and honey. How many of you see that in your notes today? Leeks and onions. So leeks and onions, those two things are made or they're a benefit to other things. So onions and leeks, they make things better. They make things taste better. But if you eat them by themselves, like, that's not something that maybe we would do. So you're not going to take an onion to school and give it to your teacher and hope that you get a better grade. You know, you're not going to bob for candied onions. Like, you're not going to do that, right? But onions mixed with other things can be tremendous benefit. And the reason I use chocolate milk instead of milk and honey, it's not that I'm having some sort of issue with the Bible translation or that I don't get it, but I like chocolate milk better than regular milk. So I'm like, I want to prosper, I want to be blessed, and so that's something that I want to use it as an example. So I want you to hear this real quick. We looked at Exodus 3. He says, a fertile and spacious land is a land flowing with milk and honey. Fertile and spacious means productive and large. Productive and large. So that's what God wants for us. He wants a productive and large space for us to be able to live in. Remember what I said, it's not just financial, but it's with our family, it's with our faith, it's our finances, and it's in our future. Those are things that God wants us to stretch out in and be blessed and be fruitful in, and have a large area that we can live in that's productive. Listen to a couple of these that I read this morning. These aren't in your notes, but you can write them down. Deuteronomy 6:10 says this: it is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods that you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns that you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. So we're talking about receiving something that we didn't really do anything to work for. It's there because God did it. God steps in, and God helps us realize it and receive it by faith. But it continues on the next chapter. Deuteronomy 7:13 says, "He will give you fertility to your land and to your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give to your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine, olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above the other nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young, and the Lord will protect you from sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies." How many of you want that? Like, isn't it clear from the Bible what God's will is? Like, this is what God wants for his people. This is what God desires for you and me. He wants us to live that way, blessed and prosperous and fruitful, where we enlarge our territory, where it's spacious but also productive. But there's a caveat to it, and that is this. And this message could be misunderstood, because some people would walk away from this and say, well, all pastor's talking about is the blessing and the favor of God, and he doesn't say anything about our end of it. Well, our end of it is that we love him, that we fear him, that we obey him, and that we serve him. Now, I know that's a short list compared to the bigger list of blessings, but how many of you know it's a challenge sometimes to obey God and to serve him and to honor him and to love him? Sometimes we don't always do that. But we should never, again, I want to say this, we should never confuse the blessing with the blessor. The blesser is the Lord Jesus Christ. The blesser is our Father in heaven that we can pray to and depend on and rely on and put our trust in. And when we do that and we follow him and we obey him with our lives and we love him from the sincerity of our hearts, he wants to pour out, the Bible says this, his lavish love upon his people. He wants to lavish his love upon you and me. And that has to do with milk and honey. It's interesting because that phrase milk and honey represents extreme abundance, fertility, and prosperity. It's famously used in the Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament, to describe the promised land of Canaan, but it symbolizes land that is rich with resources. Illustrates an offering of a life that is at ease and sustenance and favor of divine blessing, opposed to the hardship and slavery and scarcity of Egypt. So in these 40 years that we're covering, you have two contrasts. You have the slavery and the bondage of Egypt and the harshness of it, and yet over here you have the wonderful promise of provision, favor, blessing, and God pouring out his lavish love upon you and I. Isn't that great? So a lot of times we don't see it. Deuteronomy 5 says this, and this is what I refer to. It says, "But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations." Isn't that great? So it wasn't just for those people, it's for us today. God wants to lavish his love upon you and I 1,000 generations. Think about it for a minute. Not just for us, but for our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, everybody that follows after us, God wants to bless. He wants to pour out his favor upon us. And the reason he does that is because he loves us, and his love is lavish. I mean, think about that. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing concept, but we don't always see it. Milk refers to the prosperity of livestock. So for them, it would have been like goat milk or sheep milk, and it indicates lush pastures that their animals could live in. But honey represents, and it could be date honey or wild honey from bees, but it represents the sweet, rich fruits of the land, and it's a metaphor for a place where all good things are available in abundance. How many of you want all good things that are available in abundance? How many of you want that? I know I do. I want to live that way. That's the way I want to be. And especially in the areas that we referred to earlier, our faith, our finances, our future, our families. Like, that's what God wants. How many of us struggle with it, with the idea of it being God's will. Like, do you believe that that's God's will? Can I show you something in Scripture that'll maybe help you? Number six, and this is what Moses told Aaron to do. So Aaron was his brother who was the high priest. And he said this, he said, I want you to bless your people with this particular blessing. And this is it. He says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. So that's what God wants for you and me, right? Like, we don't have a problem with that. But notice what it says here. When Aaron pronounces the blessing over the people of God, you know what it says? Look at the tag at the end. I myself will bless them. Isn't that an amazing thing? So God partners with our blessing. When we speak blessing over our kids, over our finances, over our future, over our relationship with Jesus, God partners with that faith, and he puts his faith and his blessing partnering with ours. Isn't that an amazing concept when you think of it that way? Well, the scripture tells us in Psalm 34:8, this is the New King James Version, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So there's a challenge. I call it a challenge. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? How many of you like to? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you like chocolate milk? Anybody like chocolate milk? Okay. Keith, come on up here. Come on up here. You like chocolate milk, right? Okay. You said you did. Here, let me give you this. Here, come on up here on stage real quick so they can get us. Okay, you like chocolate milk? Okay, so you know what these are? These are leeks. Okay? So you could have one of these, or you could chaw on one of those. That's an onion. So I'm not too enthused about that, are you?
No.
Okay. So if I were to ask you, do you want that, like put this in your lunchbox for tomorrow and you can use it as a snack or something? What do you think about that?
I probably wouldn't take it.
Okay, so they say, okay, let's go back to Egypt because that's where we had leeks and onions and all the cucumbers we wanted, and so that was that. This is Egypt. Okay? This is Egypt. All right. Maybe it's good in other things, but not by itself. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, there's chocolate milk. And see, this is an interesting, what's that say?
Promised land.
Yeah, this came from the promised land. Isn't that amazing? Promised land dairy. All right, so this is what God wants for us. So hold that for a second. Let's just jump right into this, huh? Taste that, see what you think of that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Huh? Right? Okay. How about this? You want to try that?
Not really.
Okay, I don't blame you. I don't either. All right. So there's chocolate milk and honey. And so that's this came from Hillsboro. So this is local honey. So this is pretty good stuff, I think. But we're going to fix you right up today, Keith. If you didn't have breakfast today, okay? So, take your medicine.
Spoonful of honey?
Yep. Did you know that honey, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
You want one of those leeks?
Not really.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Did you know that honey, if it's stored correctly, has no expiration? Like, yeah. It'll last through some nuclear Holocaust, if it's stored correctly. Honey does. So what God is saying to us is, you can have this or you can have this. Which one do you want?
I want the promised land.
I do too. Let's give Keith a clap today. Yeah, thank you, Keith. All right. Taste and see. But why don't we taste and see? Because I think if you're like me, you don't feel like you deserve it. Like, maybe you grew up that way. Maybe you grew up thinking that there was a badge of honor to suffer. You know, that you were more spiritual if you suffered. Again, we don't want to take away the role of suffering. But we don't want to suffer because we think we deserve it. Does that make sense? Maybe we don't believe it that God would want to bless you or me. Maybe we just don't believe it. Maybe you think, well, it was for God's people back then, but it's not really for me today. Or maybe you feel like you got to earn it or be good enough. You know, and of course, there's our role that we play, of course, absolutely. Fearing God, loving Him, serving Him, obeying Him. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm talking about the free gift that God wants to bestow. He wants to lavish His love on His people. And if we knowingly or unknowingly go against Him, then we are going against the favor and the blessing of God in our lives. And we don't want to do that. So there is more from where this came from. And many of us think, well, there's only so much to go around. So if I gave Keith that, then there's not going to be enough for me left over. That's scarcity mentality. That's poverty mentality. God has enough to bless His people. He has enough to, the word lavish, He wants to lavish His love upon His people. He really does. Did you know there, back to what I referred to earlier about the family, is that there's a fatherly blessing that we find in Hebrews 11, and it's found in verses 20 and 21, and it talks about Isaac and Jacob and what they did, and if you look at Hebrews 11, there's this whole list of the great things that men and women of God did. And you get to verse 20 and 21, and you think, well, that's not a big deal. But they made the cut. They made the hall of faith. And the reason they made the hall of faith is because they blessed their kids. They blessed them. It's God's will for us as fathers or uncles or brothers or sisters or whoever you are to bless people, to bless your family, to bless your kids, that everybody you come into contact with, that people can walk away and say, you know what, I'm blessed because I knew that person. I'm blessed because I had an encounter with that person. That's what I want people to say about me. And there's the idea of abundance. We forget that God is an abundant God. Chapter 10 of John, verse 10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, these are the words of Jesus, to give you life and life more abundantly. Listen, that's more than just spiritual abundance. That is the favor and the resource and the blessing and every good thing that heaven has for you and me. Continues on in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 20. Now he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, you see it? Above, more than we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us. But notice what verse 21 says. And to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. You see it? It doesn't just stop with us. It goes on and continues on and on. Well, we get to Luke 6. And this is a wonderful passage because we've heard it, we know it, but sometimes we take it out of context. You know, we just think that it's the blessing of God with money. But look at the context of Luke 6 and what it says in verse 37. Don't judge others. Okay, that's a pretty big one, isn't it? How many people do you know that are judgmental? How many of you can be judgmental from time to time? I make judgments and assumptions about people that I don't know if they're true or not. But to me, they're true. But that doesn't mean it's right. How about this one? Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. That's pretty big. How many of you need some forgiveness from time to time? Anybody need some forgiveness? Done some things that you could wish you could do over again or have a restart or reset button on that? Yeah, me too. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure. So he's not just talking about finances and resources. He's talking about spiritual concepts like forgiveness and judgments and being lenient with people and having grace toward toward others. The same grace and favor that we want, that we enjoy, is the same grace and favor that we're supposed to give away to others. So he says, pressed down, shaken together. He says, give. And the word give means having an open hand. Being the biggest blessing you can be. Making the biggest difference you can make in people's lives, big or small. Sometimes the things that we deem insignificant can have such a tremendous impact in people's lives. Look for a need. Look for where you can be a blessing and then do it. You know, that's what the church should do. Like, we as the church, we should look at how we can be a blessing to people. Don't you agree? And you do it out of the degree that you've been blessed. So if you've been blessed and you have been, the Lord has encountered you with his lavish love upon your life, then we in turn should give that away and be as big a blessing as we can be. I think that we can ask the Lord to give us creative ways to do that. How many of you would be open to that? Say, Lord, I want you to give me a creative way of how to be a blessing. You know, I've tried to do that, and you know one thing that I've kind of stumbled into that's kind of interesting? So if you know a little bit about my history, when our church was small in Oklahoma, I worked at a funeral home for 5 years. So I was kind of around the funeral business and all that. Well, since coming to Salina, the mortuaries will call me to do funerals. So I've done over, since I've been back to Salina, I've done over 200 funerals. So from January till now, I've done I think 9 already. So for the year. For me, a lot of pastors, that funerals are stressful. But for me, I've done them so much, and I'm still a little stressed about them. But when I get up in the morning before I'm supposed to do the funeral that day, I pray and say, Lord, give me a message that I can speak specifically to the family and to those that are going to be there. And did you know that I very rarely will recycle a message? I always have, the Lord always gives me a special message for those families. And it brings encouragement. It brings life to them. It builds them up. It gives them strength. And for me, it's not a big deal. Like for me, I just do it. And it's something that I can do to be a blessing to a family. That's kind of creative, isn't it? Like, I never thought that I would stumble into that. But that's just one way that we can make a difference in people's lives. Think about your life and how you can be how you can contribute to people. Maybe you're gifted with your hands and you can fix things. Like, you have an uncanny ability to figure things out. Vehicles and heating and air systems and plumbing and things like that that make our world really nice. Or how about this? How about you know how to make a really good apple pie or cinnamon rolls? See who I'm looking at? Yeah, hint. Maybe that's your gifting. And you can be a blessing to people that way. You see, we think that God's favor and his blessing are only spiritual things. But if you can make a difference in people's lives in many areas. I mean, you look at my sister, she's an artist. Like, she can do stuff with nails that I'm going, I can't even believe that. It looks like a painting, you know, on a fingernail. That's a gift. You see, God gives us all gifts to be able to do things like that to make people's lives better. And you know what it does? It opens the door for life to be shared, for people's hearts to be changed. You see, many times you might look at your life and not think that you have a very big contribution at all, but you do. Don't let the devil lie to you and say that you can't make a difference in somebody's life. Many of you are gifted. Like, the more I know you guys, I'm like going, I can't believe that they can do that stuff. And I'm amazed at what God does inside people's lives. So pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay? So, Melissa, come on up here. We're going to pick on you since you're sitting up close. That's the danger of sitting up close.
Yeah, I know. I made eye contact.
Come on. Yeah, right. We made eye contact. Right. Okay, what's this say?
Ruffles party size.
Party size.
Yes.
Wow. Big party, huh? Party by myself.
Yeah. With yeah. French onion dip, yes.
Okay, fair enough. But look at that. So, yeah. Now this is true of most products, but they want you to think that you're getting more than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's just do it.
Okay.
So this is a $7.29 bag of chips. Okay, you like that? Notice this. How much of it is air? That's expensive air.
Yeah.
That's like $3 worth of air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
hold on,
pressed down,
mm-hmm.
shaken together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what they, if we're going to have a party, this is what it really ought to look
like,
right? Yeah. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. To make room for more, make room for more, to make room for more. And
overflowing.
And running over. I know what you're thinking. Thinking he just wasted a dollar. Yeah, well, you know what? This is what God is saying to us. That he wants for our lives.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to be a half bag full of air. Right?
Yes.
He wants us to overflow.
Yes.
With his goodness and his blessing. Let's give Melissa a clap. Thank you for helping me. All right. So let's stand together today.